Let us go into the word. Let us agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Jesus. We ask and receive this evening. But there's clarity as God's word is taught. Truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word. There's no contradiction. Truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with precision, with clarity. And at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified. And Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Talk with me quickly. Let's see 2 Timothy. That has been our anchor text in this series. 2 Timothy chapter... let's see 2 Timothy chapter 3. Hallelujah. Praise God. 2 Timothy chapter 3... Verse 15. Look at what Paul says. He says, "And that from a child, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto what? Salvation. And that from a child, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus." So he says, all scriptures are given by inspiration of God. They are profitable for what? Doctrine. For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So, scriptures, by scriptures, Paul will mean Genesis to Malachi. He would not be talking about the book of Timothy at the time because he was just writing the letter to Timothy. So, it means that all scriptures are given by inspiration. All scriptures, thou hast known the holy scriptures which are able to make thee wise. So he's saying that scriptures that will be Genesis to Malachi, they have a fundamental purpose to bring wisdom in reference to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So it means that a good way to know that you've read scriptures well is when you see God's plan of salvation. Right? So a student, look at Matthew 28. Look at Matthew's Gospel 28. Matthew's Gospel 28. Verse 18. Look at Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 18. It says, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations." It says, "Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." So, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That's the only mention in the entire scriptures. That's Genesis to Revelation this time around. So name of the Father is the name of the Son, right? You get that, right? So teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. So he says, go into the world and teach all nations, teaching them to observe whatsoever I have commanded you. So what will be the command of Jesus? It will be his charge. What will be his charge? His charge will be those things he taught from the writings of what? Moses and the prophets. If I look at Luke 24, look at Luke 24, verse 24, look at Luke 24, verse 24, Luke 24, 24, look at Luke 24, 24, "And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then Jesus said unto them, O fools." Right? He said, "O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophet has spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things that ye see and to enter into his glory?" So Jesus began at Moses, verse 27, and all the prophets. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So the things concerning himself, or the expounding unto them in all the scriptures, will be what he said as teaching them or to observe all I have commanded, all I have charged thee, all I have instructed thee by teaching. Yeah, so all scriptures are given by inspiration of God, right? That will be Genesis to Malachi, fundamentally. Now, those scriptures are advantageous for teaching, for charging, for instruction in righteousness. It says for instruction. The word instruction is for training in righteousness. So for training in righteousness. Are we together? So Jesus now says, go into the world and instruct, just as you've been instructed, right? Did you get that? Yeah, go into the world and teach all nations, teaching them to observe all I have what? Instructed, what I have commanded, yeah? What I have instructed or imbibed, or what I'm imbibing by teaching, yeah? So look at Acts 1. Look at Acts chapter 1. Look at Luke 24. He began to explain his suffering and his entering into his glory from Moses and by extension the prophet. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 2. Acts chapter 1, verse 2. Hallelujah. Look at what it says there. It says, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments. Altogether. Now, remember, we're looking at 10 commandments. We've been looking at that for a while now. The conversation around 10 commandments, right? So, remember, we established the 10 commandments as a word, or the word used to transcribe or translate commandment when 10 commandments is being spoken about is not the same word used to speak about several other commandments. So, the 10 commandments, that is commandments dabas, will be in reference to, you know, they were only used 3 times in the writings of Moses. Now, so we're trying to examine a few things about that. Now, just look at Acts 1 again. So, when it says, until the day which was taken up, after that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given what? Commandments. Now, that commandment is like to order, or like to charge, right? So, Matthew 28, we say, teaching them to observe all I have commanded, right? All I have commanded. He says, look at Acts again. Look at Acts chapter 1 again. He says, until the day in which he was taken up by the Holy Ghost, After which he had given what? Commandment. After which he had commanded. Yeah. So that commandment in the Greek, as used in Acts 1-2, is what was used in Matthew 28 verse 20, when it says teaching them to observe all things I have what? Commanded. Yeah. So that commandment is not the same as the commandment. Yeah. No matter as used by Moses when referring to 10 commandments. So this commandment will deal with an order, an instruction, a charge. Yeah, or a command on something that is to be done. Had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had what? Chosen. So this commandment, you will not see them from the angle of what you would have called the 10 commandments as seen in the writings of Moses, right? So that commandment, how, look at it. Jesus could not have come and said, number one, do this, number two, do that, number three, do that, number four, do that, number five, do this. Number five, do this. Number six, do this. Yeah. See, how do we know that? Look at verse 3. It says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many in what? Infallible proofs. By many infallible proofs. By many infallible proofs. Are we together? Yeah. The word infallible proofs there deals with, you know, something that is plain, that is plainly known. Yeah, this is an evidence, right? So, and the evidence he was able to prove were from scriptures. Luke 24 shows us that. So, being seen of them for how many days? 40 days, speaking of the things pertaining the kingdom of God. So, his charge will be about the kingdom of God. Did you see that? See, the commandment in verse 2 will be his charge in verse 2, really, which is actually his speaking in verse 3 for what? 40 days concerning pertaining the kingdom of God. So, Jesus gets, so when you see Matthew 28, it says, teaching them to observe whatsoever I have what? Commanded. Yeah, so those commands will not be as instructions or direct or outright order. Yeah, but to be instructing by teaching. So, which is what Paul now tells Timothy, scriptures are advantageous for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction. Are we together? Yeah. For instruction in righteousness. For instruction in righteousness. For instruction in righteousness. Did you get that? Yeah. So, for instruction, there will be we'll deal with a training, a type of training, a particular type, a form of training. Yeah, usually comes with his own, you know, its own curriculum. Did you get that? So, Jesus taught for 40 days. Where was he teaching from? The writings of Moses. Are we together? Now, look at Exodus. Look at what Moses says in Exodus. Exodus chapter 20. Look at Exodus 20, verse 1. We've paid attention to a few things here, and we just want to look at them again. Look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. So, look at it. Exodus 20, verse 1. It says, and God spake all these words, saying, right, I am the Lord thy God. Now, take note of this. When you see, and God spake all these words, saying, it will not be a saying or something that is done from thin air. No, it is not the skies were talking. No, it is not a voice was speaking from the sky and they were trying to trace the source. So when you see, and God spake, it will be what you call utterance, right? The spirit upon. Are we together? So, and God spake all these words, saying, how will God speak? God will speak it to them through the lips of Moses. Are we together? So it means that in utterance, you can actually stand instead of God or in place of God and speak on behalf of God. In fact, that's what you call utterance. Yeah. So you can say in utterance, you can say, God will have you do this. Right? So in utterance, you can say, God will have you pay attention to so-and-so within the so-and-so period. Right? And in utterance, you can also say, I will have you pay attention to so-and-so within so-and-so period. Yeah. In the real sense, who do you see behind that utterance? It is the believer. Yeah. So it is from the lips of the believer that God's word is spoken. So when you see, and God spake all, I just said that in passing, and God spake all these words saying, it is not that they were all together in the bush or in the forest or wherever they are or they were, and there was this thick, heavy voice. You know, some of us believe that God's voice is busy. Yeah. You know, God's voice is that. Some of us believe that God talks from, you know, he tries to. No. Those are just, you know what, the things and the interesting things that movies make us believe. So when you see and God speak, you would most often than not find it from the lips of the saints. Or let me say better, you will most often than not find it from the lips of men. Are we together? Yeah. So, and God spake all these words saying, so that will be through the lips of Moses, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee up. Therefore, dear saints, who would they have been seeing talking? They would have been seeing Moses talking, but they would have been seeing Moses' talk as the talk of God. Are we together? Yeah. So I am the Lord thy God, whose mouth will they see moving that way? See, look at it. This communication was not something that was done abstractly from the thin air that everybody was to tune in their frequency to get it. In the real sense, it was from the lips of Moses that this was communicated to them. So, and God spake all these words saying, I am the Lord. See, who will they see? Whose mouth will they see moving? It is the man with the utterance, the man that is talking. Are we together? So when you say, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, who should you see as that who brought deliverance? Not the man with the utterance, but the man behind the utterance, or the person behind the utterance. So I am the Lord thy God, which has brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Yeah, thou shalt have no other gods before me. So you begin to see what you call the 10 commandments, what you call the 10 dabas. Which in the review says, arguably you can even count them to more than 10. So, thou shalt have no other God before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of any form. Verse 5, thou shalt not bow before them, nor serve them. Verse 6, verse 7, thou shalt not take the Lord, name of the Lord thy God in vain. Verse 8, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Verse 11 or verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy day may be long. Verse 13, thou shalt not kill. 14, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witnesses. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. And all of that. Are we together? Remember, you must see what you call the 10 commandments from 10 words. Yeah? And you must not see words as individual words like, I am a boy. 4 words. She is a big girl. 5 words. No. You must see it as a whole song. So, the same way you would have seen Jesus talk in Acts chapter 1 when he says, having given them commandments which lasted for 40 days, Jesus didn't just use 40 words, yeah, but really he was charging them to do certain things, yeah. So remember, those would be 2 different words, but remember, in 10 commandments, it will be 10 dabas, so you must see them holistically as 10 words. Are we together? 10 words. Now, we're able to establish that those words were the same thing, or they were gotten from the root, or they were, so to say, derived, or so to say, they were the same things that God made, or God communicated as a covenant with the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and by extension now, the children of Israel. Are we together? Are we together? So we're able to establish a few things having looked at all of these things. I would say that the fundamental thing about this is that God reminds them that they were delivered and were redeemed to become his people. Are we together? So they were redeemed from bondage to become his people. Then Moses now gives them certain things that they should keep, obey, or adhere to. Are we together? So they will come into God's heritage, come into God's land, and have an inheritance. And in that, there will be certain things they would have to observe. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. So it means that what you call the 10 dabas or the 10 words, they were categorized, like we've seen in the last few weeks, into 2 instructions fundamentally. Yeah, one will have to deal with the worship of Jehovah, right? In view of that deliverance he has brought out of bondage. And the second one will be in reference to their relationship amongst themselves. That's why you keep seeing thy father, thy neighbor, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill thy neighbor, thou shalt not steal from thy neighbor, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Having said that, shall have no other God except God. So it means that the worship of Jehovah, their worship of Yahweh, their worship of God will be in view of the deliverance that has been brought to them. Are we together? So Moses is re-explaining to them the covenant to their fathers and making them see the importance of their love for God and by extension God's love for man. You get that? You can twist that somewhere around your head, right? So after Exodus, Moses is re-explaining that. Okay, look at something in Deuteronomy. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 5. Let me show you something quickly in Deuteronomy chapter 5 verse 6. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Hold on. Did we read that in Exodus chapter 20 verse 1? Yes. Are we together? Did you read that? Yes. So, when we saw that in Exodus chapter 1, it says, the Lord God said, this is what the Lord God was saying. So, he now says in verse 7, thou shalt have no other God before me. So, this is in Deuteronomy. This is after Exodus had happened. All together. So, after Exodus, what is Moses now doing? Is we're explaining that they are to love God. All together. He now goes to chapter 6, what he called Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verse 5, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. So what it says there? It says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy what? Thy heart. Are we together? With all thy heart. Now, in previous teachings, we explained that the love of loving of God is what Moses explained as to obey his voice, which is to keep his commandments. Are we together? So he was teaching the same truths. Yeah, he was really teaching the same truths. So now, we also established that what? There will be a land which was promised to Abraham, which will actually be in reality a people. Yeah? So by extension, there will be a people that will come into a land, or to prefigure, let me say it better, to prefigure, there will be a people that will come into a land that will have an inheritance. What is that inheritance? I will give you a new heart. I will put my spirit within you. Right? I will wash you clean with my spirit. Are we together? So, in God's new creation, Moses from start will be teaching about God's people, God's community, that will receive an inheritance, which is the indwelling of a spirit. In the real sense, they will be God's people, and by extension, they will love their neighbors. Are we together? That is why you see Jesus summarizes this in Matthew 22. Look at Matthew 22, verse 36. Matthew 22, verse 36. You know, they came to Jesus and asked him a very important question to them. They said, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Where do you suppose he's teaching from? Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 to 6. We just read that. Are we together? Thou shalt love thy Lord thy God. Verse 38 is, this is the first and great commandment. The word there first is that which sets the pace of what is to come, or that we set a foundation which others now follow. So he says, this is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto the first. Yeah, the word there, second, would rather be used as what? Subsequently, or to imply subsequently. So from Jesus' teaching, the proof of our love will be seen in our worship of God, which will by extension be seen and be evident in our love for the believers. Now, take note of this. Salvation, which has been God's plan from time, has been something or is something that Jesus now comes to reveal. Are we together? So it means that when you see Jesus, you listen to Jesus. In listening to Jesus, you see God clearly. In seeing what Jesus does, his actions, his words, you see the person of God clearly. So it means that there is no obscurity. There is no fainted line. There is no faded obscure, or there is no thin line. See, Jesus draws a perfect line. Yeah, between all other implications or impressions about God and who God really is. See, the line Jesus draws is not a thin line. It is a perfectly, evidently, well-seen, clear line. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it means that God first, as or God's plan has always been a plan to save the people. God has always loved the people. But the difference in generations across the years is there are different people who have received of that love. Think about it this way. You are in this day and time right now, and amongst you, amongst people you relate to every day, there are people who have heard about Jesus but don't believe in Jesus. Even though history proves that there was a time that there was a Jesus that walked amidst men. Are we together? So don't always blame those before Jesus or those before the incarnation of Jesus, because we have people evidently around us who have evidently been able to trace that Jesus was a man in history amongst men, yet they don't believe that he resurrected for sins. So how much more people who would have been told this fact by faith ahead of time? Are we together? So he says, the first is the great commandment, that is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. And the second is what? Just like the first, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Are we together? So in the real sense, you will see that there is something that Jesus comes to point our attention to in his incarnation and resurrection. Did you get that? Yeah. So it means that if a man in Christ can understand these two fundamentals, yeah, almost every other thing will be an easy road to ply over. Because you see, that's why when we teach things like believer's conduct, we don't teach, or for instance, there's a lot of things that the Bible will not expressly state that this is how it should be done, this is how it should not be done. But in the real sense, you will see that if your love or if your action is predicated on these so-called two, you realize that you will not do certain things. You realize you will not find yourself doing certain things. If your mind is fixed on that which is first and that which follows subsequently, you realize that there are so many things that even though they are lawful, even though there are things you can explain as not so-called wrong, but you find yourself not doing them. Why? Because look at what Jesus says. On these two commandments hang all the law and what? The prophets. Are we together? Are we together? So what did Jesus do for us? Jesus is that chief neighbor who comes to be our neighbor, or who comes to be the neighbor of man, and in doing that we see a template to follow. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? I'll say that again. In the template that Jesus sets for us, we as believers, so when Jesus says love your enemies, it is not far-fetched to see, right? Because he has given an example. Do you see that? It is not far-fetched to see, because he has given an example of loving enemies. Are we here? Are we gone home? You're home, right? Yeah, I'll say that again. In the template of Jesus, we see an example to follow. In the template of Jesus, we see an example to follow. In the template of Jesus, we see an example to follow. Glory to God. Glory to God. When we're yet without strength, Christ died for us. Romans 5. Right? When we're yet dead in sins, yeah, before that, yeah, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. So we looked at certain things over the last few weeks about Judas and Jesus, and we're able to establish that the meaning of Judas is not really betrayer, yeah? And we're able to establish also that the name Judas was the name that he was called up until he betrayed, right? And nobody saw it as a wrong name. Neither did Judas see that as a wrong name. So Judas, remember, Judas was not predestinated to walk as he walked, because Judas had his choices to make. Yeah, there were prophecies about things. Look at it. You see, when prophecies are given, it doesn't mean that those prophecies will come as they are said, so to say, or always. Let me say better. Yeah, there are certain prophecies that the minds of man will need to step out from its comfort zone to see them coming to pass. Yeah, there are certain prophecies. So look at it. If someone prophesies that, oh, at age 70, you will do this and do that. At age 80, you will do this and do that. Now, are there things in life that could make that person not get to age 70 or age 80? Yes, yes, yes. Yes, 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 yes. So there are prophecies that will be given, but there are certain choices that will be made that will allow those prophecies to either come to pass or not come to pass. So there were prophecies about Judas and his bishopric given to someone else. Yeah, but it wasn't about Judas, but the bishopric of that person who denies Jesus or who betrays Jesus. Are we together? Yeah. So prophecy did not say ahead of time. So imagine on Judas's naming ceremony, one pastor goes there and say, "And you see, you will kill yourself. For you see, they've written about 2 years before, and you are the one that will kill yourself." So it could have been Peter that walked in that line. It could have been James that walked in that line. It could have been any other person. Are we together? So Judas was not predestinated to walk in that light. No, Judas in his choices found himself aligning to the prophecies made aforetime. Did you get that? Did you get that? So Judas in his prophecies in the choices of Judas, we find him aligning himself to the prophet of time. So when Jesus says that, all these things work on two commandments. Now the truth is that even though Jesus says you are a love being, it doesn't mean that in every situation, the first thing that will come to your mind or to react with is love. Are we together? Yeah. Can prophecies be given ahead and you are asked to follow them? Yes. Can prophecies be given ahead and you will follow them, and even in following them, they don't come to pass as they were said? Yes, because there are so many other factors. Let me give an example. You know, in life, you can look at a young man or a disciple or a young person, and just while he's about to enter into the university, you tell him that, I see you coming out of first class. Now, is that a good thing? Yes, it's a good thing. Is that a good thing to see ahead? Yes, it's a good thing to see ahead. But are there people who they prophesy that they will come out with first class from the school, and yet they don't come out with first class? Yes, a lot. Are we together? So are there people who, you know, even though they've told them, they still walk towards it and yet don't come out of first class? Yes. Why do you suppose so? Because prophecies are not absolute. They are not parallel from the choices of men. So there's a man that will mark your script. There's a man that will see you and might not like you. There's a man that will see you and will not like your class. There's a man that will see all your classmates, "I want to fail all of you because of one person's wrong." You see? So in the choices of men, so it means that you cannot totally isolate prophecies as said from the choices of men. So the prophecy of betrayal was ahead of time. The prophecy of the bishopric of that man which you betrayed was ahead of time. But the truth remains that it wasn't speaking, or look at it. At the time when the prophets will be talking about, they will not know the name of the person as Judas. Did you get that? Yeah, they will not know the name of the person that will betray, but they will know about a man that will bring betrayal. Are we together? Glory to God. So what does Jesus say? He says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So we saw Jesus say, love your enemies, right? Pray for them that despitefully use you. In doing that, you shall be like the Father, with your Father which is in heaven. Yeah, remember, being like your Father which is in heaven is just a way of talking about identifying your work with his work, right? Because it is not, so look at it. Are there people who are not believers and they are doing on their play praying or blessing them who caused them? Yes, there are a lot of people. Does that make them their father? Does that make God their father? Nope. So it will be that what you in your association or in your work, we find your work in parallel, or we find your work amidst the work of God. Are we together? So when Jesus says, love your enemies, right? We now see Jesus in Matthew 26. You now see what he did to one person you would have termed, or one person you would have called enemy. Look at Matthew 26, verse 44. And Jesus led them again and prayed. And he prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to the disciples and said unto them, sleep on now. Right? He says, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of what? The sinner. What do you expect Jesus is teaching in these actions that he's doing? He is showing that which he has said earlier, as on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Love thy God and love thy what? Neighbor. Are we together? Look at that again. So he says, rise, let us go. Behold, he that is at hand, or he is at hand, that doth betray me. Now, when the betrayal happened, look at verse 50. Jesus said unto him, who is the him? Judas. What did he say unto Judas? Friend, wherefore art thou come? Is betrayal good? No. Is betrayal good? No. Look at, if you look at the writings of Moses, what you call the 10 charge or 10 commandments or the 10 dabas, yeah, will you say anything like don't bear false witness? Yes. If you bear false witness, is that good? No. But your bearing false witness should not determine the response of a believer, which is the same believer with you. What does that mean? It means that first of all, we see that God is not a reactional being. You know, like I would always say, emotions are better followers, but they are terrible leaders. I hope you got that. Emotions are terrible leaders, but they are better what? Followers. Yeah. So there's something called being reactive and proactive. Yeah, a lot of times, yeah, our emotions are in the way and we end up reacting as besides our creation or our reality in Christ. Are we together? So it means that, look at Jesus. He says, friend, wherefore art thou caught? Remember, the last 10 verses we read before verse 50 already shows us that Jesus knew about the temptation that was coming. So when he says, friend, wherefore art thou come? Are we together? So what was that? They betrayed. Are we together? So Jesus asking, or Judas betrayed. Well, Jesus asking, wherefore art thou come? That was really an opportunity for Judas to repent, so to say. Because Jesus already knew ahead of time what Judas had been planning and which was manifesting. Hallelujah. How do you suppose temptation comes? Let me ask you a question. Go to James. Let's look at something interesting in James. Look at James chapter 1. Look at James. Glory to God. Look at James chapter 1. Look at James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Are we together? Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord had promised to them that love him. Now, he now tells you something in verse 13 that you should not play with. Verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. Hold on. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Did you see that? Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Are we together? Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Don't lose that, right? The word there, blessed, is the word Makarios. Yeah, there are two words blessed in the Greek manuscript, Eulogia and Makarios. Makarios is, it means to be fortunate or to be happy. Yeah, so we're talking about the Beatitudes. Yeah, blessed are the poor. Yeah, there's blessed of Makarios, fortunate. There is blessed of eulogy, to speak well. Are we together? So when he says, blessed is the man that endures temptation, it is that what? Fortunate is that man that endures temptation. Look at it. If James had not written verse 13, a lot of us would have thought that God is the tempter. God is the chief tempter. See, blessed is the man that endures temptation. Who is the tempter? It cannot be God. Look at verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Are we together? So God doesn't tempt. In fact, in case you don't see that, what I just said, look at it again. Let no man say, when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. God cannot be tempted with evil, neither. What is James trying to show you? God is not a reactional being. Hallelujah. So let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. Look at verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his what? His own lust, not God's lust. See, it is your lust that brings temptation. Did you get that? Look at it. If you go to a supermarket, if a man who is a thief goes to a supermarket, think about it. A lot of times he will steal things that he feels like he needs. That is his lust. He's satisfying his lust. Are we together? Look at it. Let me use this very interesting narrative. Look at it. If you are one who is not, you know, if a brother stands in a private room with a guy who has his thoughts distorted, you know, a guy who sees himself as a girl, right? And this young brother doesn't, it is disgusting to him to see a guy who acts like a girl. You know that if they're in the room together, yeah, there's every likelihood that that other brother who thinks he's a girl will not be able to tempt this our young brother.
Yeah, but think about it in a different way. Imagine as that young brother that he is, he likes all the, you know, all things bright and beautiful, all things colorful, fair, gold, precious in the eyes of, you know, and this, and these things that he likes, they are found only in people who are properly women. You know that, you know, the tendency for him to resist the two of them, they are on two different pages. For one, it will be easier to resist. For the other one, it is something that he can easily fall into. Now, where did that temptation come from? It is because he has something called lust. Look at it again. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and what? Enticed. And enticed. So, let me ask you a question. In the face of what Jesus went through, was that temptation? Do you suppose, okay, if you can backtrack, you know, you would have seen stories of the story of Jesus being tempted by the devil in Matthew. We'll look at that maybe today or subsequently, right? So, was he tempted? Yes. Will you call that temptation? Yes. What is the first thing you must know about temptation? It is not of God. You know, so a lot of us, we go through challenges in life and we say that God is testing you. God is testing you. God is tempting you. God is trying you. No, one thing you must know about temptation, trial, test, they are not of God. It is life challenges or life generally that profess all this temptation to man. Hallelujah. Hold on. Did Jesus warn Peter about a temptation coming ahead? Yes. How do you suppose the temptation comes into play? He came in the form of a man. So it means that temptations are man-made. Men tempt us. Praise God. Yeah. No man stays in his room and he just says he's tempted by a woman or he's tempted by, you know, by the spirit. No. It is men, fellow neighbors, that tempt other men. So, the temptation Jesus warned about, Judas was coming. That was the temptation he warned about ahead. So, Jesus did not say, Judas that we cannot trust, when you see him, you kill him. No, so, in looking at the way Jesus handled temptation, we see a template to handle temptation. Are we together? You know, when you look through scriptures, you realize that from the writings of the psalmist, so to say. Now, I said this during the seminar. You'll find out that towards the crucifixion time of Jesus, into the resurrection and all of that, Jesus was heavy in the Psalms. Are we together? Jesus was heavy in the Psalms. So he, in the writings of David, you see the words of Jesus. Yeah, we looked at that during that Bible seminar. Are we together? Look at Psalm 55. Look at Psalm 55 quickly. Psalm 55. Remember, we're in James, right? Look at Psalm 55. Look at Psalm 55, verse 12. Look at something, verse 12. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Are we together? Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man my equal, my acquaintance. Are we together? My acquaintance. Does that look like what, you know, what you would have seen on the lips of Jesus? So, can you see that in the writings and the experience of David, we will find that of Jesus also. Are we together? In Jesus' actions, what was he doing? Look at 1 Peter 2. Look at 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. 1 Peter 2, 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered. Now, hold on. When we looked at Psalm 55, did he say, reproach came unto me for my acquaintance? Yes, we saw that. So it means that one, you know, what you call frenemy, one who was a friend and now became an enemy. Are we together? Hallelujah. So for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us and what? An example. What is the example for? That ye follow his steps. Now, so I'm teaching us how to deal with betrayer amidst our friends. Are we together? I'm teaching you how to deal with betrayer and mix people with trust. Now, from Psalm 55, you see clearly that in Jesus' life, or even without Psalm 55, you see that the person that betrayed Jesus was his acquaintance, like Psalm 55 would say. Are we together? What did Jesus do? So it means that as saints, when we look at what Jesus did, we see what Jesus did, not to see it from the angle of that is Jesus, that is God. Eh? Me, I'm a mortal man. No, we see that as an example that he left for us. Look at what Peter says, that ye should follow his steps. That ye should follow his steps. That ye should follow his steps. So the example of Jesus is a template for us to follow. Are we together? So if a brother or a friend of mine stabs me at the back, I don't stab him back. But now, look at it. Can a brother stab me at the back? Yes. What am I to do? The first thing I do is to acknowledge what Jesus did as an example. You see, we are not, look at it, dear saints, as saints, we are not people who don't have an example or template to follow. Did you get that? Yeah, we are not people who don't have an example. That's why a lot of times, you know, while we're growing up, we usually come up with this clause, say this clause. Yeah, what will Jesus do? It's a good thing not to leave behind, my dear siblings, my dear saints, yeah? It's a good thing not to leave behind. Yeah, it's a good thing not to leave behind. So every situation you find yourself, you can ask yourself, what will Jesus do? WWJD. What will Jesus do? See, in the doings of Jesus, we see an example that we should follow his steps. Are we together? In the doings of Jesus, I'll say that again. In the doings of Jesus, we see an example to follow his steps. Look at James 3. Go back to James 3. Look at James chapter 1, rather, verse 13. Look at verse 12. Fortunate is that man that endureth temptation. Verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. So can man be tempted? Yes, man can be tempted. Are we together? Can man be tempted? Yes, man can be tempted. But look at what James now teaches us in verse 16. He says, do not err, my beloved brethren. Right? Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift. We looked at that during the seminar. So every good giving and the effect of its giving, remember that? Yeah? Is from above. Yeah? And now, remember, he starts talking about above from chapter 1 verse 16. He starts talking about above from chapter 1 verse 16. Are we together? Yeah? Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth from above. You see that, right? Look at verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak, slow to wrath. Did you get that? Yeah, so swift to hear is more like be twice a listener than a speaker. Do not go into error, my beloved brethren. Let every man be swift. You know, some people will say that's why God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth. Are we together? Yeah, so wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak. Are we together? Now, look at what James says in chapter 3. Look at chapter 3, verse 10. Having said that, be slow to talk, be quick to hear, be swift to hear, slow to talk. Look at James 3, verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive a greater condemnation. Are we together? For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in words, that same is a perfect man. You see that? Keep reading. And able to also bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that he may obey us. And we turn about their whole body by the bit in his mouth. Verse 4. Behold also sheep. We have what we call what? A riddle. Yeah? Which though they be so great, they are driven of fierce wind, yet they are turned about with a very small helm. Are we together? Look at this point in verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasted great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. You know what your tongue has put you in before. Yeah? The tongue is a fire, a word of iniquity. So, why do you suppose you should read this very well? Because he has told you be swift to hear, slow to speak. Then slow to rot. Are we together? Look at verse 7. For every kind of beast and bird, serpents and things of the sea tame, had been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Look at verse 9. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, yeah, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth, see that? Out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing, my brethren. Look at it. In your mind, if you read that without reading further, you would have thought he's saying, yes. You can curse with your mouth and the same mouth bless. See what James says. These things ought not so to be. Are we together? He now explains that further. Verse 11. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? That's rhetorical. Can one fountain have two sweet and bitter together such that it is sweet when you program your mind for it to be sweet. Can you imagine that kind of fun thing? Yeah. So when you want the water to be sweet, you program your mind, what I'm going to taste is going to be sweet, and you drink it. Then you move your mouth. When you put it again, what I'm going to taste is going to be bitter. No. So that's rhetorical. Yeah. So can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Can vine bear fig trees? He now says, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. He now says, verse 13, who is a wise man and endures with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Are we together? Now, you see that Jesus gave us a template of this. Are we together? What you would have expected for Jesus to do in the time of temptation, which Judas was doing, was what you would have allowed bitter water from a sweet fountain, or a fountain that is meant to produce only sweet fountain. But Jesus gives you that example. James tells you, these things ought not be so. Hallelujah. See what he now says. He says, but if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Don't glory in that you are envious, or there is envy or strife in your heart. Don't tolerate it. It ought not be so. He tells you in verse 15, this wisdom descended not from above. Remember, from chapter 1, he told us something about that which is from above. Yeah, do not go into error. Yeah, wherefore, dear believers, yeah, don't go into error. Yes, we are that which all the Father giveth. Every good and perfect gift cometh from above. Every good giving and perfect gift comes from above. So that same above, it tells you that the wisdom that has to do with envying and what? Strife. Envying and strife. The wisdom that has to do with trying to create a blend between sweet and bitter is not from above. Hallelujah. It's not from above. It says it is earthly. It is sensual. He now finally wraps it up. It is devilish. It is devilish. So when a man does evil to you and you retaliate with evil, yeah, both evils are evils. Are we together? Both evils are evils. So there are two evils that are evils. Did you get that? Did you get that? Yeah. So both evils are evils. But those evils, they are not of that which is above. They are wisdom that is earthly. They are wisdom that is sensual and heavenly. So if you are a brother, if you are a sister, your close friend, your bestie, you know what you call bestie? Yeah. Your best friend, right, betrays you. Right? In your best friend betraying you, will now betray back. Both of you have operated in wisdom that descended not from above. It is earthly, it is sensual, it is devilish. See, if one person betrays you, you are not obligated to betray back, but you are obligated to what? Stick with that which brings sweet water. Stick with that which brings that which is good and that alone, having seen the template from Jesus. Are we together? Look at verse 16. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first what? Pure. Then what? Peaceable. Did you see that? Did you see that? Did you see that? So, what do you suppose Jesus' response was when Judas was betraying him? The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, then easy to be entreated. You see, that is why God's word is needed for both the betrayer and the betrayed. You see, if two believers can pay attention to God's word very well, you realize that what? They see themselves in scriptures by looking at what Christ has done, and they will realign their thought pattern to that which Christ calls them. Did you see that? Right? Now, is it good? Is it proper for you to be the one that is always being betrayed? No. But that you are being betrayed doesn't mean you should come down to the level to play the game of betrayal. That you are being betrayed doesn't mean you should come back to the level to play the game of the wisdom which is earthly, sensual, devilish. Are we here? Have you got it? Right? So, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, and easy to be entreated. It says, full of what? Mercy. Full of what? Mercy. What do you suppose Jesus did? Jesus exhibited that which is not sensual, that which is not devilish, that which is not earthly, but that which is from above. Peter tells you in the example of Jesus, we see a template to follow. Are we together? Right? So, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits. Without what? Partiality. Without what? Partiality. Without partiality. And without what? Hypocrisy. He now says, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make what? Peace. So look at what, remember what James was addressing from verse 11. He says, these things ought not be so. Blessing and cursing from your mouth? No. So he now reminds them of that which they have, which is from above. He now tells them in verse 4, from whence come these wars and fighting amongst you? Did you see that? Yeah? Did you see all, can you see? You see James addressing camping. You see that? You see James trying to put a clear line in what you call camping. Yeah? My friend's enemy is my enemy. My friend's enemy is my enemy. My enemies, you know, all those very, very ridiculous things that are sensual, earthly, and devilish. Now, look at it. In the real sense, in the world system, what does the world expect you to do to your friend's enemy? The world system expects you to make your friend's enemy your enemy. What does James teach? First, let's go back to Jesus. What does Jesus teach? Jesus gives us a template as to how to handle people. Yeah, Jesus gives you a template as to what to do towards your enemies, those that despitefully use you and those that curse you. Are we together? Yeah, what is James now saying? You see, from that which is above, you can't have blessing and cursing from the same source. Same way you can't have sweet and bitter water from the same fountain. The same way you can't have what? The fig tree bringing out olives. So James is perplexed by the wars and fightings amongst the saints. He's saying, from where comes this wars and fighting amongst you? He says, come they not hence, even of your lust. Remember, he had addressed lust from James chapter 1. Where does lust come from? Where does temptation come from? Temptation comes from the man's lust, and when he gives into lust, or when he's enticed, yeah, he now has a follow. Did you get that? Yeah, so they come from your lust. Your lust, yeah, we explain lust in our Bible seminar as that which is of the flesh or that which is without the spirit, so to say. Are we together? So, even of your lust that the war in your members, yeah, he says, ye lust and ye have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Are we together? He now says, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. We've done a teaching on that. Yeah, what is asking amiss? Asking amiss is desiring amiss that which is not from the above. Yeah, asking amiss there is to desire that which is not of the sweet fountain. Asking amiss is to desire to bless and curse with the same mouth. Are we together? So when he says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? If you take the friendship pattern or model of this world, that is not in tantamount, or it is not in equality with what? With the friendship or with God, so to say. Look at it again. He says, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Hallelujah. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy. So you realize that the template that the world gives by default is not that which the world gives. Right? The template the world gives is not that which the world gives. Did you see that? The template the world gives. So there's a difference. So we can't afford to handle our friendships on the level of the world. The level of the world states that my friend's enemy is my enemy. No, that is devilish. Yeah? James gives you a summary to that. He says it is earthly, sensual, devilish. Did you get that? See, don't try to, you know, try and be explaining away how try to keep your distance. But I'm not coming. We'll tackle that very soon. Yeah? And like I said on Sunday, all those things are necessary for you to incubate in the cooler while you grow spiritually. Yeah, but don't go to that. Let's first tackle that which is clear in scriptures. So where does fighting come from? It is not from that which is above. Yeah, so the moment you are trying to look for wars, or you are trying to be in the war zone, the fighting zone, you are what James calls an adulterer in verse 4. What is adultery? What is adultery? Adultery is trying to derive pleasure or derive excitement from away from the marriage bed. Yeah, Hebrews tells you that marriage is honorable before the Lord. Are we together? So when you try to derive pleasure from outside that marriage between the church and Christ, what are you doing? James calls you an adulterer. What are you trying to say? What is he trying to say? When you try to say you want to create a balance between blessing and cursing, yeah, you are one that is trying to derive pleasure away from the marriage bed of Christ. Know ye not that friendship of this world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world. Yeah, go back to what Jesus did. When Jesus saw that man which betrayed him, what did he call him? Friend. In that, Jesus gives you the template of friendship. Friendship doesn't do bad to people that do bad. No, the friendship doesn't. See, the friendship of God, the friendship of scriptures, doesn't do bad to people that are bad. The friendship of God doesn't relate to people based on how they relate with you. Look at it. See, don't go after the conversation of, but they should learn God's word. Now, you learn your own and know where you stand. Are you here? You learn your own. Learn the one that is speaking to you. Yeah? Let's assume the person that you are fighting, let's assume the person that wants to fight with you, he's still a Christian. You learn your own. Eh? Learn your own. Stay there. Stay in your own. Did you get that? We see a template. So James tells you that which is from above is what? The wisdom of God. That which is first what? Pure. Then peaceable. Then gentle. Then easy to be entreated. Then full of mercy. He says of good fruits without partiality, no hypocrisy. Are we together? So, let me ask you a question. In Jesus' example, did Judas betray Jesus? Yes. Did God deliver Jesus? Yes. How did God deliver Jesus? In the resurrection. Okay. You didn't see that coming, right? Did God, that is Jesus, know ahead of time that Judas was coming to betray him? Yes, he knew. Did God save Jesus? Yes, he saved Jesus. What you would have thought to be the saving of Jesus is not what really happened. How did God save Jesus? Acts now tells you, Peter now tells you, this same Jesus whom you killed, whom you crucified by your wicked hands, God has raised him up. So by raising God from the dead, you see God saving Jesus. You see, God will not remove another man's actions or another man's brain or another man's choice because of you. You see, that you don't like somebody doesn't mean God doesn't like the person. You are not that important. Some of us believe that, you know, anybody that is fighting us is fighting God. You are not that important. You are a small, chinkily, tiny part of entity. You see, I see myself that way a lot of times. Yeah, the only difference is that I see myself as that small, tiny part, chinkily part that has the Holy Ghost. Do you understand? We are really, so you're not liking somebody doesn't mean that God doesn't like you. So you're not liking somebody doesn't make God not like the person. You are too small. You are too small. So God will not remove another man's will, another man's choice because of you. Are we together? Now, can you be in a position where you know somebody wants to betray you and God will tell you, oh, this guy wants to betray you, or this guy wants to do something evil to you, and God will say, run away? Yes, you can. Can you, by the Spirit of God, know when to flee? Yes, you can. Are we together? But God will not superimpose himself because of you and remove the brain of another person just because of you. Hallelujah. Bible says, Jesus offered up prayer to whom who can save him. So, Jesus prayed to God who will save him. Did Jesus pray? Yes. Was Jesus' prayer answered? Yes. How did God save him? God saved him in the resurrection. So, God saved Jesus not by disappearing, but by resurrection. Did you see that? So, the resurrection is God's answer. The resurrection should be our answer in times like that. In difficult times. The resurrection, that which is from above. Hallelujah. That which is from above. Look at Matthew 5. Let's go to Matthew 5 quickly. Praise Jesus. Look at Matthew 5, 44. I'll show you something quickly before we... We call it an evening. Look at Matthew 5, 44. But I say unto you, okay, go back. 43. Ye have heard that it had been said. Now, where do you suppose they have heard and it was said? In scriptures. Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. Look at what Jesus says. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be children of your fathers which is in heaven. And for he maketh sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain to the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love ye, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans do same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more or than others? Do not even publicans do so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven. Yeah, which is in heaven. Is that which is from above? Yeah. Did you get that? So the Father which is in heaven is the Father which gave birth to us from above. That is the indwelling of the Spirit that we have. Hallelujah. So in that, we see a template to follow. So look at it. Despite what Judas did, Jesus remained a consistent friend. Oh, gracious Father. Oh, some of us need to listen to that again. Jesus remained a consistent friend. Remember I told you, the word that Jesus used in Matthew 22:50, friend, wherefore art thou come? Was it a figure of speech? It's not metonymy. His friend. Jesus cooked dinner for someone that denied him. So, remember we said something. In describing what Jesus can do, we are describing what we can do. In describing the power Jesus has over temptation, in describing the power Jesus has over betrayal, we are describing the power which we have. Are we together? So if someone has hurt you, one of the best ways to approach that person is to pray for the person. You see something? You cannot successfully hate someone you pray for properly. Let me say better. You cannot successfully hate someone you genuinely pray for. Did you get that? You cannot successfully hate someone you genuinely pray for. Try it. So, in seeing Jesus, we see a template to follow. Okay, go back to 1 Peter. Let me quickly show you something before we move on. Look at 1 Peter. Go back to 1 Peter where we read earlier today. Remember that 1 Peter we read? Go back there. Go back to that 1 Peter. That same 1 Peter. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Right? Now, look at chapter 3. Look at chapter 3. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one for another. Hello. Are you seeing scriptures? Now, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, if you are the only person in your neighbor, in your neighborhood, say neighbor, one comes before three. You must have read chapter one before you read chapter three. You must have read chapter one, then chapter two, then chapter three. Yeah, where did we just read? We read chapter 2 when it says that Jesus gives an example that we should follow his steps. Now, when you get to chapter 3, he now says, finally, be ye of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Right? Not rendering evil for evil. What did Jesus do? He didn't render evil for evil. Are we together? He didn't render evil for evil. What did Jesus do? He didn't render evil for evil. What did Jesus do? He didn't render evil for evil. What was he really doing? He was giving an example for us to follow. So, not rendering evil for evil, or reeling for reeling, but contrawise blessing. Knowing that ye are there unto God, that ye should inherit the blessing. Are we together? For he that will love life, right, and see good days, let him refrain his tongues from evil and his lips that they speak no word guile. Are we together? So you see someone who did evil to you. First thing you do is look at Jesus. Second thing, in looking at Jesus, what do you do next? You look at yourself. In looking at Jesus, you see what Jesus did, and in looking at Jesus, you see what you can do. So in looking at Jesus, you see what you can do. That is, you have the power not to render evil for evil. You see that? Did you get that? Yeah? So, when someone does evil to you, somebody else who saw that evil can say, bro, can't you see what that person did? What should be your response? I see what the Father has done upon the resurrection. I see that. What do you suppose Peter was doing to Jesus when he cut off the ear of that person? Jesus, you call him friend. Don't you see what he didn't call the year of Judas, or he called the year of the servant? Yeah, overzealous. Yeah, but what is that? Evil for evil. There is never a time where rendering evil for evil is considered as what? Right. Did you get that? So, in seeing Jesus, you see yourself. Ephesians 1 will tell you, in him we have forgiveness. In him you have forgiveness. Remember, Judas, who betrayed Jesus, was one of Jesus' choices when having prayed for 12 hours. Bible says Jesus prayed for 12 hours when he was about to pick disciples. In 12 hours, he prayed all night. That is 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. In 12 hours, he picked Peter and picked Judas. Ha! That is God. That is God. So, what do? We stay with what we know in the Word. So first things first, you think about what he has done as written in the Word. In doing that, you see the empowerment, the enablement to do as he has done. Look at Luke 10. Let's look at Luke 10 quickly. Look at Luke chapter 10. Look at Luke chapter 10, verse 29. Remember, love thy neighbor, right? Love thy neighbor. Love thy neighbor. Say, love thy neighbor. Love thy neighbor. Now look at the question they asked Jesus in verse 29. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And so, it means that what Jesus will be answering the question of who is my neighbor. Look at verse 30. And Jesus answering said unto him, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell amongst thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Are we together? He passed by the other side. Look at verse 32. Likewise, a Levite, when he was at that place, he came and looked on him, and he passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring him oil and wine, right, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Yeah, look at verse 36. Or look at 35. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him whatsoever thou spendest. When I come, I will repay thee. Which now of these three? Look at the question. Remember, what is the question they asked Jesus? Who is my neighbor? What did Jesus now say in verse 36? Which now of these three thinketh thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do likewise. So who do you suppose the Samaritan is in that example? Yeah, the Samaritan in the real sense will first be our father. Hallelujah. So in the story of the Samaritan, you see God as father becoming a neighbor to a neighbor. You see that? So God is first the neighbor to us so that we can love our neighbors. Do you understand that in these few verses we read, we just summarize what you call Moses' Ten Commandments? Did you see that? In seeing the love of the Father, you extend it to what? Others. So when he says, can you see the love of that Samaritan to that wounded man? What happens? That same way, go and do likewise. So we go and do likewise, just like the Father, as explained in Jesus in parabolic form. Are we together? So it means that if we observe the good doing of the Father, yeah, soon enough, I'll see myself. Soon enough, I'll see what is in me. That's why Paul will ask us to pray properly. So that's why our saints never get tired when we are always praying the Pauline prayers. That the Lord, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto us the wisdom of the Spirit and the revelation and knowledge of Him. Because in having the proper revelation and knowledge of Him exposes us to who we are. In revealing Jesus, we see ourselves. So I see me in Him. Hallelujah. I see me in Him. In seeing Him, I unveil me. Glory to God. In seeing me, I unveil me. So when it says, pray that your eyes of understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance and the saints, that you may know what is in you. In knowing what he has done, in knowing what he can do, you can see what is in you. Yet, one know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his word, his mighty power. So in seeing Jesus, we see ourselves. Look at Paul in Galatians 5. Look at Paul in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Galatians 5:13. He says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love be a neighbor." Hey, did you see that? "But by love serve one another." See what it now tells you in verse 15. "For all the law is fulfilled in one word." What is the one word? He says, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Now, you would have thought that when he says it's fulfilled in one word, it's a single word he's talking about. How many words do you see there? "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Did you see that? "But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the world." Remember, the same lust James taught in James. "Walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusted against the Spirit." That's what James says. "For from whence comes these wars and fightings?" Hallelujah. "And the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other." How did James teach it? Friendship with the world is enmity to God or with God. Look at verse 18. "But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." Now look at verse 19. "Now the works of the flesh are what? Manifest. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, adultery, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, reviling, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Yeah, so it means that you must look at, remember, he told you first of all that you received the Spirit in Galatians 3. Look at Galatians 3 verse 2, verse 1. Please hold your thoughts in Galatians 5 where we are. Look at Galatians 3 verse 1. "Why do you suppose he's..." Look at Galatians 3. "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ have been evidently set forth, crucified amongst you." Look at verse 3. "Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, and ye are now... Are you now made perfect by the flesh?" So it means that what Paul is teaching is not that we complete our perfection by what? Our works. Or what layman would say. We receive, or we can lose our salvation if we don't walk... Do you understand? Walk the works. Yeah, he has reassured them of that which is of the Spirit. Look at chapter 4. You must have read chapter 3, chapter 4, verse 6. "Because ye are sons." Look at Galatians 4, 6. "Because ye are sons, God has sent forth his Spirit that he will not remove. So the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, they are an heir of God through Christ." So it means that you have an inheritance of the kingdom of God. So it means that when you get to Galatians chapter 5, what is the inheritance? The indwelling of the Spirit. Yeah, so when you get to Galatians chapter 5, when it says, "of which you will not inherit the kingdom of God," you must see it in the same light we saw what? "That you might be children of your Father which is in heaven." You see that? Identifying with his work, right? So look at what it now says in verse 22, where we are going to. It says what? "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy." Now, look at this. Let me show you something there. Paul did not say the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. He says the fruits. Yeah, that word there, fruit, is not plural in the Greek. So the fruit of the Spirit is love. Where do you suppose this is found? Remember from Exodus 20. Yes, God brings the people into his community, into his kingdom, into the heavenly Jerusalem. And they have an inheritance, which is the indwelling of the Spirit. By extension, they reference God and they love thy neighbor. They love their neighbors. Did you see that? Did you see that? So what is the fruit of that Spirit which you received as inheritance in that land? It is love. Do you understand? So it is in love we find joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Did you see what I did there? Did you see what I did there? The word there, fruit, is the word karpos. K-A-R-P-O-S. The S in the kapros doesn't mean it is plural. Yeah, that word kapros there. You know, the kapros actually deals with your in nature or what you call action or results. So the product or the result of the Spirit we have received in the land that we have come from, or the land we have come into when we left bondage, is what? Love. Love thy neighbor. Yeah, the same thing Jesus taught. What do you suppose he taught? He taught what? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and subsequently what? Love thy neighbor. So the fruit of the Spirit is love. In love, we have peace, we have joy, we have long-suffering, we have self-control. Hallelujah. So when you say in verse 16, look at verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also what? Walk in the Spirit. What is walking in the Spirit? Go to chapter verse 16. Look at verse 16. This I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. What is supposed to walk in the Spirit is walk in love. Walk in love. Walk in love. So the action or the result of the Spirit we have received is love. What do? We walk in that love. The moment you want to what? Bring in sweet and bitter from that same source, which is not really there. What are you doing? You are who James calls what? An adulterer, an adulteress. Are we together? So we live in the Spirit. That is, we walk in love. We walk in love. We walk in love. He now goes to chapter 6. He now says, brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be what? Tempted. There's a tendency for man to fall into the temptation he accuses another man of falling into. Look at verse 2. Bear ye one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate. Are we together? So, back to Moses' use of 10 commandments. Right? So the use of 10 commandments by Moses was a codified way to explain the fundamental concept of our faith, which is love. Are we together? So we first saw it as what? The covenant that God made with Abraham, which is covenant of salvation, of redemption. We then see it as what? In God's new creation, in God's new city, in God's new humanity, the people who love him, what will it be to love him, to obey him, to keep his commandments, to hearken to his voice? Right? They will receive the inheritance of the land. What is the inheritance? The indwelling of the Spirit. What is the result of that inheritance? Love. The fruit of the Spirit, the kapos of the Spirit is love. Hallelujah. So they will be God's people. They will be God's family, God's children. They will worship Jehovah. They will worship the Deliverer. They will not worship idols. And by extension, they will love one another. Let me close in Philemon. Let me show you something important in Philemon. Look at what Paul does in Philemon. Paul says, Bible says, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, you see that? Brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, to our beloved Appia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in thy house. Hallelujah. And the church in thy house. Where do you suppose the church will be? The church will be in Philemon's house. Are we together? Right? Grace to you and peace from God, our Lord, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me now show you something. Look at verse 4. Paul now emphasizes on the character of Philemon towards the saints. He says what? I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayer. What is Philemon known for? He is known for, you see what it says in verse 5? Hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast towards the Lord Jesus and towards all the saints. So it means that the fact is not hidden that Philemon has love towards Jesus and that is towards the saints. So he says, I pray that the communication of their faith may become more effectual by the acknowledging. Do you see that? When we acknowledge that which God has done in us. You'll see it makes sense shortly. By the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you where in Christ. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love. That means the love that Philemon expressed to the brethren is something that you are proud about. You can boast about it. And because of this, Paul wrote this letter. Let's see why. He says, for we have great joy and consolation in thy love because of the bowels of the saints that are refreshed by thee. Look how it now says in verse 8. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, Yet for love's sake, remember, he has already told what you call wash, but it's not wash, is a reminder of his identity. Hallelujah. He has already told him that, oh, I can boast, or I have heard of your love and faith towards the saints. He now says, yet for this love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 10. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus. What is Paul doing? Paul is begging Philemon on behalf of Onesimus. So I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bounds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable. That means Philemon and Onesimus had a relationship, but the relationship went sour. Hallelujah. You know, I was telling someone recently that, you see, if we had seen a sour relationship amongst the saints, or amongst the apostles, that wasn't resolved properly, you know, we might have had a reason for some practices we do. So, Onesimus and Philemon, they had a relationship that went sour. So, what did he say in verse 11? In time past, he was not profitable to you, but now is profitable to thee and to me. He says, whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him. That is my own Boaz. What is that? Is my own Boaz receiving on my behalf, right? Whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season. Are we together? That thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother. Paul opens Philemon with my dear brother. Yeah, me and my brother Timothy to our dear beloved. So he now says, receive this servant, not as a servant, but as a beloved brother, special to me. But how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord? If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. Oh, gracious Father. Paul says, receive this Philemon as myself. Are we together? If he had wronged thee, yeah, or owed thee, he says, put that on my account. That is the real love work. That is the real love work. That is the real love work. You see, Paul did not relate to Onesimus as my friend's enemy, who is now my enemy. He says, take that into my account. He says, I, Paul, have written it with my own hand. He said, I will repay it. Albeit, I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me, even thy own self besides. Yea, brother. He brings back that reality of the resurrection. Brother, Adelphos, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my Boaz in the Lord. Remember, in verse 10, he already spoke about how, because of the Boaz of the saints, are being refreshed by his love work. Hallelujah. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee. Oh, gracious Father. Oh, Paul knew ahead of time. He was confident that Philemon would pay attention to the resurrection reality and walk in love and forgive Onesimus. Paul says, having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. Than I say, not I treat this guy as my enemy because he wasn't loyal to you. Nobody knows what Onesimus might have done to Philemon. Do you understand? For Philemon, who was already known to be a chief love worker, Paul had to write it in on and say, take it to my account. So it's possible that what Onesimus did to Philemon was terrible. But he says, I have confidence in thee that you will obey what I'm writing. What is really the obedience? Obeying the love work. Obeying the work of the Spirit. That thou will also do more than I say. Dear saints, be you known. Let it be that you are known, that people can boast in your love work. Let it be that you are known, that people can boast in. I trust you. What I say you should do to this person who must have hurt you, I trust you will do more. Do you get that? Look at verse 22. But without prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. So it means that Paul also acknowledges that in Philemon's constant prayer is the deliverance, or the prayer for deliverance for Paul. Because Paul was in prison when he wrote this letter. He now says, dear, salute the Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Marcos, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas. That's Luke, right? fellow laborers, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul acknowledges that Onesimus was at one time not profitable, must have done something terrible. Hallelujah. See, genuine reconciliation is based on the truth of God's word. Yeah, remember, Paul will tell you, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, put strife, put anger away. He first says, we are brothers, we are family, we are family. Right? Paul now acknowledges his own present relationship now with Onesimus. Are we together? So can you see, Philemon is not self-made. He was a product and a sacrifice of the love of Paul. Or Paul, look at verse 19. I, Paul, have written it with you with my own hands. I will repay it. Howbeit, I did not say to thee how thou owest unto me. So it means that Philemon, by extension, is a product of Paul. Hallelujah. So what is so? Look, see how Paul wrote Philemon. I'll close here. Paul wrote Philemon this way. He reminds Philemon of what he is well known for. That is his love towards the saints. He now prays for him that the communication. So when you, so the prayer we're always praying in God's palace, yeah, Philemon chapter 1 verse 4-6, that the communication of their faith. The reason why Paul prays that prayer is because he wants to reintroduce Onesimus, who was once unprofitable to him, back to him. So that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good. So it means that for all Paul, all Philemon needs to do is to be reminded of that which he has seen in Christ and to acknowledge. What is acknowledge? Epignosis, right? The word acknowledging there is to have complete, precise, accurate knowledge concerning that which God has done in Christ. Hallelujah. Dear saint, lift your hand and say, I'm a love being. Lift your hands where you are and say, I'm a love being. Say, I walk in love. Say, I'm full of love. Say, I dispense love. Say, I follow scriptures. Say, I follow scriptures. Say, I follow Jesus. Say, I follow the epistles. Say, I stand for God's word. Say, I stand in the spirit. Say, I stand in love. Say, I stand in love. Say, I stand in the love walk and I walk in that. Hallelujah. It's been a pleasure to bring God's word your way. Until I come your way again, Jesus remains glorified. Cheers. I love you all.